Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Today is the end of my second week teaching on God Wants You Well. And I've covered a lot of good materials. We've also had some DVDs where we've had some testimonies about how God miraculously healed people in this day in which we live. I was raised to believe that God didn't do miracles anymore. And, you know, before I really came into the truth, I often wondered about, well, you know, why did God stop? And it just didn't make sense. I mean, like, where was the line drawn? And I tell you, I am so thrilled that Jesus is moving by His power and that people are being set free today. And I know that there's a lot of people that have other doctrines and they believe contrary to that, but I'm telling you, this is my testimony. You're either going to have to just call me a liar and a deceiver, or you're going to have to reevaluate something, because I have seen blind eyes open, deaf ears open. I've seen my own son raised from the dead after being dead for nearly 5 hours. And there was no brain damage, no more than before. Amen. I tell you what, God is alive and doing well, and that's my testimony, and I'm sticking with it. And we see a lot of miracles happen, and so I've been trying to share these things so that you could experience God's best. And God loves you and wants you to live in health just because He loves you, but also healing is a stepping stone to even greater things with the Lord. I know that when I first got really excited about the Lord and started believing God and I started seeing miracles of healing, the very first person I think I ever saw healed was a little girl that was in one of my Sunday school classes, and she was healed. And I tell you what, it was just like giving a shot of adrenaline to that whole Sunday school class when they saw this girl miraculously healed, and their faith level went up and they started believing God, and it affected their relationship with the Lord. God wants you well. God is concerned about every part of you. The way that the body of Christ has segmented what Jesus has done, and they haven't said it in these words, but it leaves the impression that God is concerned about your eternal destiny, about the forgiveness of your sins. He wants to deal with these spiritual, emotional things, but He doesn't care about your body. He's distant. He's not involved. People are struggling and going through cancer and terrible tragedy, and it's basically the church has been saying that God doesn't care, or that even God put this on you to teach you something. That turns people away from the Lord. You know, I'm not going to mention a name here, but I've got a specific individual in mind that my wife has heard this over a television talk show, and then I've read it in a publication that one of the leaders in the United States today, a very influential man, was raised in a Presbyterian church and believed in God, probably wasn't born again, but believed that God existed. And as a young boy, his sister got sick and died, and the church came over and said it was God's will that she died. And this man responded to that by saying, if there is a God, I hate Him. But then he really has come to a place where he's somewhere between an agnostic and an atheist. And he is now very influential in media and different things. And by his own admission, he is trying to turn people away from this Judeo-Christian ethic because he hates the concept of God and all of this. And it all stems back to when somebody said God was the one that killed his sister. And he said, if there is a God, I hate Him for doing that. You know, I recently was reading on one of the internet things something about the Haitian earthquakes that they had, and there was something that caught my attention because the headline was Some See God in Quake. And I read this, and it talked about how that the voodoo doctors in Haiti were saying that this was a sign from God. They quoted Christian leaders who were saying that this was the judgment of God and God's punishment because people hadn't been doing things. And then at the end of the article, they were talking about how that there were all of these bodies just piled up and they were burning them because, you know, trying to get rid of the bodies and the decay and the disease and infection and stuff. And they were burning these bodies. And this reporter said that as he sat there and watched these bodies being burned, there was a woman walk by and she took a Bible out of her purse and threw it on that fire. And you know what? There's a lot of people that are turning against God are saying certainly there can't be a God because they see this tragedy on epic scales like these earthquakes, or it could be down to a personal level like your sickness and your pain and the suffering and things that you go through. And as a whole, the church has been saying that God wills it to be this way. And I am telling you that God wills you to be well, but it doesn't come to pass automatically. You've got to believe. So the very first point I've been trying to get across is that it is always God's will to heal you. It's a part of the atonement. And this week I started talking about Paul's thorn in the flesh. And people see, religious people have twisted this and turned it to say that God put sickness on Paul and that he besought the Lord three times that this sickness would be removed from him and God wouldn't do it and said, you're better off with the sickness. That is not what the scriptures say. It's again, go back and read these verses. I'm not going to read the entirety of what I did before, but in verse 7, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, he says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. And people have taken this, and I made this point the last time I was talking about this, but in verse 7, Paul says just very clear that this thorn in the flesh was, comma, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. He credited this to the devil. It did not come from God. And yet, 99% of people that read this will talk about why did God give Paul this thorn in the flesh? God did not give this to him. It was the messenger of Satan. And see, again, it's religious doctrine that makes the word of none effect because religious doctrine has come along and said, oh, but Satan can't do anything without God's permission. It's like they envision this huge desk in heaven, and either God has to write out the work order and originate whatever happens, or it at least has to cross his desk and he has to stamp approved on it. That is not so. God does not approve of the things that Satan is doing. God doesn't have Satan on a leash and only lets him do what he thinks would be appropriate for him to do. No, we have an adversary, the devil, who goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And the scripture tells us to resist him steadfast in the faith. That's out of 1 Peter chapter 5. And if God was the one that was loosing the devil on us, then he would be wrong to tell us to resist him because then we would be resisting God if God had the ultimate responsibility for it. No, Satan is out to steal, kill, and to destroy. God is not the one who is doing these things. And God is not the one who gave Paul his thorn in the flesh. It was the messenger of Satan to buffet him lest he should be exalted above measure. Now, the scripture here doesn't say what this thorn in the flesh is, but let me just continue reading and I'm going to make some points and you're going to have to, again, be open to a different understanding than what probably most of you have been taught on this. In verse 8, it says, for this thing, the thorn in the flesh, I besought the Lord thrice, three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, I've heard this interpreted a couple of ways. Some people will say that God here was basically saying, Paul, you've got authority, you've got my grace, you've got my power, you use your authority, you get rid of this thorn in the flesh. And so some people will interpret it that way and basically say that Paul lived with something that he didn't have to live with. This was God telling him that he could have overcome it. Now, personally, I don't think that that's what it is because right after the Lord said in verse 9, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. He goes on to say, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. It looks like that after Paul had asked these three times and got this reply, that he quit beseeching the Lord, and there is no mention of the thorn being gone or this problem being over with. It sounds like he just embraced it and learned to live with it. And so if the Lord was telling him, you've got authority, use your authority and do it, well, then it looks like Paul didn't respond properly to it. So therefore, I don't think that's exactly what this is. Here's the key for me. I think that a thorn in the flesh here is not talking about a sickness. Now, some people just jump to that conclusion because in verse 9, he says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Verse 10, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, etc. And so the word infirmities is used twice in association with this thorn in the flesh. And so people just automatically think that this is talking about a sickness. You know, the word infirmity, the way that we use it today, is nearly used exclusively to describe some kind of a sickness or disease, some problem that you have in your physical body. And so I can understand why people would jump to that conclusion. But if you take the word infirmity, what it means, if you look it up in a dictionary, it literally means a lack or an inadequacy. And if you take it in context, you got to remember that the Bible was not written in chapters and verses. These were added so that we could reference and come to the same place and read it. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you've got to remember that chapter 11 is not separated from chapter 12. This is the same author. It's the same context. It's just a few sentences before this that the Apostle Paul talked about his infirmities. As a matter of fact, let me read this verse in verse 30. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30. He says, if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. And if you were to back up, he had just listed all of the hardships that he had gone through. The point was that people were saying, you aren't qualified. And he says, who's more qualified than me? Look what I've been through. He says, I have suffered more than anybody. I've been shipwrecked. I've been beaten. I've been put in prison. I've been whipped. I've been beaten with rods. He says, besides all of the things that are without, all of the cares of the churches. And he talked about all of these hardships, not a single mention in here about a sickness, a disease, nothing. And after he had listed all of these hardships, then he says, if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things concerning my infirmities. So he used the word infirmity in the context right here, talking about hardships, problems, sufferings, persecutions. That was the context. That's the way that he's using this word infirmity. And if you just keep reading, I read that portion of the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. The last part says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In verse 10, he says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses. He lists five things. Now, the first one he lists is infirmities, but then the other four things, look at this. He says, in reproaches. That's talking about being reproached for Christ. He was persecuted. He was slandered. They just accused him of everything that you can imagine. Necessities is talking about that because he was a missionary and he went out and he didn't take money from everybody. Often he had to make tents and supply his own finances for himself and the people that were with him. So he suffered hardships in the financial realm. In persecutions, he was beaten, stoned, shipwrecked. Put into prison. He spent years and years in prisons and in distresses. Now, distresses, that can include financial, physical, emotional, all kinds of things. But notice, there's five things listed. Four of them are very clearly not sickness. And so, by just association here, it would lead you to believe that this word infirmities isn't limited to or talking about some physical sickness or disease. And when you put it into the context and realize that just a couple of verses before this, he had said, I am glorying in the things concerning my infirmities. And everything he mentioned was talking about persecution, hardship, rejection, all of these kind of things. So the reason that I believe people jump to the conclusion that this is a sickness is because, number one, they want to believe that. Because if the Apostle Paul, who is so strong and so powerful and wrote half of the New Testament, and if he had something that God wouldn't heal them of, him of, well, then that makes them feel better about them not being healed. And it takes away any sense that, you know what, I'm failing to realize all that God has for me. And so they take comfort thinking that, man, this is really comforting to realize that God wouldn't heal Paul. There is nothing here that says God wouldn't heal Paul. Again, there is nothing here that says that this is sickness other than the word infirmities is used twice. And if you take it in context, then Paul wasn't using the word infirmity to refer to a physical sickness. If you turn over to Romans chapter 8, verse 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. It uses this word infirmities again. And then it has a colon and it says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. And it explains what the infirmity is that the Holy Spirit is helping us with. It is the infirmity of having a lack of knowledge, a lack of understanding about what to do. So again, infirmities in the Bible is not talking exclusively about sickness. Now, there's an instance over in Galatians chapter 4, and I'm going to eventually get to that, where I think that it is talking about a physical sickness. But the word infirmity isn't limited to just describing some sickness or disease. It means a lack or an inadequacy. And you could have a sickness, and that would be an infirmity, but also not knowing how to pray as you should is an infirmity. So I'm trying to say all of this to say that people, I believe, have turned Paul's thorn in the flesh into some sickness or disease because they are motivated to do that. They want to believe that that's what it is because it gives them an out. It gives them an excuse for not receiving healing themselves. If the great apostle Paul wasn't healed, well, then certainly it must be all right for them not to be healed. And you know what? That might minister some comfort to you and keep you from being condemned, but it's also going to keep you from being healed. Because you might think that, well, maybe I'm like Paul and I've got this sickness because that's my thorn in the flesh. That is not what the Scriptures teach. This thorn in the flesh came because of the abundance of the revelations. Until you get as much revelation as the Apostle Paul had, quit hiding behind his thorn in the flesh. It came not to keep him from being exalted through pride, but it was to keep him from being exalted in a godly manner, lifted up on high because of his serving the Lord. It says it was a messenger of Satan. And the context shows that this word infirmity, either verses in front of it, he says, I'm glorying of my infirmities, talking about his hardships. The verse right after he says this about I will take pleasure in my infirmities, he starts listing five things, and four of them very clearly are not talking about physical sickness. So this word infirmity has thrown some people off to think that this was a sickness, but it wasn't. So somebody says, all right, so what was his thorn in the flesh? Listen to these verses and remember that Paul was writing to people in that day who were steeped in the Jewish tradition. They had to actually memorize the first five books of the Bible. And I want to give you some scriptural terminology here. Out of Numbers chapter 33 and verse 55, this was a command that God was speaking through Moses to the Israelites about you got to drive out all of the inhabitants, get rid of them, men, women, children, everything, because if you don't, they'll become a snare to you. And he said this, Numbers 33:55, but if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which you let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your side and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. Here's another verse, Joshua chapter 23 and verse 13. He says, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of those nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you and scourges in your sides and thorns in your eyes until you perish from off the good land which the Lord your God hath given you. That was given as a rebuke because they failed to follow the instructions about driving them out. And so he says, all right, they'll be there and they'll be a problem to you. And also, here's another one. Judges chapter 2, verse 3 says, wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides and their God shall be a snare unto you. So here are three Old Testament examples where this terminology about thorn in the flesh or a thorn in the side is talking about people and how they would persecute you and how they would be a problem to you. And this fits perfectly. You know what I'm doing? I'm letting Scripture interpret Scripture. Instead of finding a passage that's a thorn in the flesh, which is very obvious that this isn't talking about some physical thorn that was sticking in his flesh. It's not that he had a piece of thorn from some bush sticking in his flesh. This was a symbolic thing. It was symbolizing something. And rather than me just picking and choosing and coming up with whatever I want to, I go to the context And he says that these are the things that I'm going to glory in, my infirmities. And he listed them, and every one of them is talking about persecution. There isn't a single thing there about a physical sickness or a need or some kind of a disease. You look at the context right after he uses this word infirmity, and in verse 10 he talks about five things, and four of them are very clearly talking about persecution. Then you go to these three Old Testament references that I gave you, and the people that he was writing to, they knew and understood that a thorn in the flesh or a thorn in the side was referring to people and how people treated you. So here's what I believe the whole deal is with Paul's thorn in the flesh. Paul's thorn in the flesh was not sickness. It was not some disease. You know what it was? It was Satan. It was a messenger of Satan. And the word messenger right here is the exact same word that is translated angel a number of other times. This is talking about a demonic power that was assigned to Paul that persecuted him wherever he went, stirred up persecution. Now, this is a new wrinkle in a lot of people's brains because they just don't realize what's going on behind the scene. They think that everything that is happening is just all natural. But there are demons that stir people up. There is a spirit of Antichrist, and it's abounding and alive in our world today. And many people who are so against God and against the gospel, it is demonic. They are being inspired by demonic things. Well, Paul had a demon assigned to him that everywhere he went stirred up persecution. The Apostle Paul even said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, "It seems like us, the apostles, are set forth last. We are suffering persecution more than anybody else." Paul said that he was more abundant in tribulation, more abundant in stripes. He had had more persecution. When Paul went into a town, he didn't go check with the Holiday Inn. He went by the jail and said, "Keep me a spot, amen. Get some fresh hay in there because I'm going to be in jail before I leave town." The Apostle Paul was persecuted everywhere he went, and he asked the Lord to remove this persecution from him, this thorn in the flesh. But see, we aren't redeemed from persecution. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, "Yea, all those who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Persecution is something we aren't redeemed from. If we would have been redeemed from it, we wouldn't have had an Apostle Paul. Because Saul at first was a persecutor. And if God just like killed all of your persecutors that came out against you, then Saul wouldn't have ever been converted, wouldn't have become the Apostle Paul, and we wouldn't have had half the New Testament. No, God hasn't redeemed us from persecution, but He has redeemed us from sickness. The Apostle Paul would have been wrong if he had some sickness in his body and if he just refused or didn't receive it. That would have been a lack or an inadequacy in his life. He would have missed out. But this wasn't a sickness that God gave him. It was a persecution, demonic power persecuting him that came directly from the devil. He asked the Lord to remove it. And God said, "Paul, I'll just give you the grace to be able to bear it." You know, I've got more to share on this, but I'm out of time. So I'm going to have to continue this, conclude it on our program next Monday. I encourage you to listen in. I think that this will really help you. And also, you really need to get these materials. Even if you followed today and if you've received it, I guarantee you, you need to hear this again. And you need to get this so you can share it with someone else. So listen as our announcer gives you that information.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, "God Wants You Well," is available in a brand new book for a gift of $14 or more. Request book number T330 when you contact us. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. Request study guide T430. The entire series is also available on either CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is available for a gift of $30 or more. Request item T1036C for the CDs or item T1036D for the DVDs. Or you can receive the book, study guide, and album as part of the Better Healthcare Package. The package includes your choice of either the CD or DVD series, the new God Wants You Well book, along with a companion study guide, plus Healing Journeys Volume 1 and Volume 2, and the Healing Scriptures CD. The entire package has a catalog value of $136, but today we'd like to offer it to you for a gift of $100 or more. To get the Better Healthcare Package, request item T4505. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The second teaching in the God Wants You Well CD series titled, What About Paul's Thorn in the Flesh? Is available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I know that many of you have been touched today and you realize that you have allowed something in your life thinking that this was God doing it or permitting it, and now you realize that you don't have to put up with it, that you've been redeemed from it. And maybe you've received this truth and yet you don't know exactly how to get from where you are to where you need to be. I'd like to encourage you to get these products. And as you call to get the products, also ask one of our prayer ministers to pray with you. We have some powerful people. Matter of fact, some of the people that are on our Healing Journeys volumes are answering the phone. People that have had miraculous healings, and they can pray with you and they can help you to receive. So we have the number on your screen. Please call today.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Atlanta, Georgia for a Gospel Truth seminar next week, April 15th through the 17th, and at the Solid Rock of Atlanta, April 18th. He'll also be in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth seminar May 13th through the 15th, and in the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Camp May 28th through the 31st. For those of you looking forward to our annual Summer Family Bible Conference, remember to mark your calendars and join us in Colorado Springs, June 28th through July 2nd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
And there was this man on the phone saying, your husband's had a wreck.
I was in a head-on accident. I was told later it took him 2 jaws of life to get me free from my truck cab.
His ribs were busted, his sternum was busted, one hip was crushed, and the femur was broken real close.
And the nurse had told my wife later, says people younger would die.
It was like Satan did his absolute best to kill my husband.
I chose to live.
For a complete report on this story, go to awmi.net and click on today's news feature. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries today. God Wants You Well continues next week on Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack.